Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big money on your next outdoor project at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. Our huge inventory of decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers are all easy to load in our drive-through lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our fence and deck design programs in-store or online at Menards.com. Don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's absolutely incredible to be with you guys. It's Wednesday. We're in the middle of the week, which means we've got one foot in the past week and kind of what's going on, and one foot with what's upcoming with the Rams. And so we're just kind of like a little bit of no man's land. That's okay, hump day. And I want to jump on because, man, I've got way too much stuff to talk about that I haven't got to. And there's just a lot. Yeah, practice reports, who's in, who's out, all that stuff coming up. And man, I just want to say this. I understand it's frustrating whenever the 49ers are coming off a loss at all times. Yeah, I mean, it's reflected. I've been doing this, you know, going into year 9 now. The numbers are down. The downloads are down. The views are down. The likes. I understand that. It's frustrating, especially whenever you're somebody or I am somebody that puts so much into this team. It's fandom. We're fanatics. It's who we are. But at the same time, I want to be very, very honest. This is a good football team. And you watch the film and you come away just from a play-by-play base, and it's just like, man, this is, there's a lot of very easily correctable things about the 49ers with, and it's only a 2-week window. You're 1-1. You're right where you know, not really where you want to be. You want to be 2-0, but you haven't played any divisional games. You're going to play the Rams. That's always our get right game. And I know this is weird because, yeah, we do have injuries, obviously, CMC and Debo. But, man, we're about to get Talanoa Funga back. We're about to get an all-pro safety back. And that's coming off the heels of maybe one of the worst safety games we've had in a long time. Long time. So that's huge. Today at practice, only one player didn't practice, and that was Debo Samuel. He's going to miss a couple games. He said on his podcast he's going to miss 2 weeks. The rest, everybody else played, practiced pretty much fully, except for the guys on IR, which there are some. But this is episode 1215, 1215, baby, of the 49ers Rush Podcast, and I'm excited. I got way too many notes. We got video clips from Juan Salas. We want to talk about all these fun things, and I got to start it off. Like, here we go. I got to do this. Got to do a couple shout-outs from this weekend. Shout-out to my man, Sam and Jack. They were absolutely incredible. These two kids, and there's a lot of kids, that came out and partied with us, which every event we do is always family friendly. If we could help it, Vegas is kind of weird sometimes, but, man, it was awesome. It won all kinds of stuff. We did all these kid competitions and whatever else. And I just want to say thank you to Sam and Jack for coming out and partying with us. They were incredible. Brock Purdy fanatics, man, it's crazy. The kids that come out today are Brock Purdy. A lot of it's being in the Midwest, right? He played Iowa State, so there's a very large Iowa State platform. But here's a picture from, the event. This is the day before event, which was awesome. Had 250-plus people out there, you know, for our tailgate. We had about 100-plus out there. It was cool, man. It was so fun. And so just want to say shout-out to Sam and Jack. I told him I'd give him a little shout-out on the show. And to the large car dudes, man, the Minnesota fans were cool as hell. And we got a chance to, you know, have some beers and hang out with some of the locals. It was just cool. So large card guys, what's up? Can't wait to hang out with you guys again. Going through the chat, what's up, Raphael? Appreciate you, man. Hashtag CCs, like and subscribe. You guys know the deal. Huff is back. And again, he is the great game changer our defense needs right now. You know, kind of Fred Warner's been wearing everybody's kind of backpack and carrying everybody's stuff, you know, whether it stops on third down, which we struggled with, or turnovers, or, you know, whatever. It's been him. So Huff coming back is going to be huge. And it's so funny. The overreactions anytime we draft somebody is like, ooh, Malik Mustafa, who I like a lot. I like a lot. He's going to take Huff's job. I'm just like, man, y'all pump those brakes real quick. Real quick. What's up, Jesse, Steven? Grand A in the house. Man, appreciate you guys at Brock We Trust. Dave, what's up, man? We got a lot of people here for the late show. My Wednesday morning show, which usually I like to go live around 10, I'm doing that over on Wayne's channel, trying to just help build up that platform. So we did a full show this morning. It was a lot of fun. Go check it out, thewaynebreezy.com. That's what it is. Yeah, Vince, I'm with you. Boy, I'm glad we are playing the Rams on Sunday. We all are. What's up, Mike? How we doing, man? Vince, thank you for working hard, man. Lots of content. Yeah, actually, after this show, I'm going to be over on KNBR, which should be a lot of fun. So for the local community, or if you guys are on the app, I'm supposed to be recording with them at like 5. I don't know when they're going to air that. Sometimes they record it and play it later. I don't know if it's a live one or not, but it'd be on there tonight unless I just absolutely stink it up, which is probably strong possibility. They've asked me on there a handful of times. I always appreciate it. It's always fun. But yeah, just work, grinded. This is my full-time job, baby, and I love it. Sometimes it's harder to do than others. And I'll be honest, okay, I wanted to talk about this. Shout out to my man, Eric Meisner, head of RIG. If you haven't followed us on 49ers Rush Podcast on Instagram, what is you doing? Man, we got like almost 25,000 followers over there. Go help us out. Support it. Eric is crushing it. We put out a lot of content over there. I put out a film clip. I don't do this often. You guys know me. I want to promote positivity, increase the fan experience, build community. Those things are what we're about. And I post film clips on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube like nonstop. We go through every single offense, defensive play, special teams over on the49ersrush.com and on our Patreon channel. That's how I feed my family. We go through every single play for the past 3.5 years. We ain't missed one. And I like to put out positive plays, sometimes critical plays. But this week, I said no. And I knew exactly how it was going to go, and I almost didn't do it. I've done this once before in my entire career where I put out a series of clips that just show a player is not good, and I didn't do it to attack this player. This is Jake Brendel. I'm not trying to – he's awesome. I think he's great. Seems like a great teammate. Seems like a great guy. Seems like, you know, he has achieved the peak of his physical prowess. I want him to get paid millions and millions of dollars. But, yeah. I ain't gonna lie. I'm sick and tired of the hate that Colton McKivitz kept getting when the film is showing so many positive plays. I was so mad. And so I'm going through the film and I'm watching it, and I just did the first half. I didn't even do the whole game. But I clipped like ass wad. I was like, dude, clip me like six or seven, you know, Jake Brendel plays. And so we clipped them together and I put it out there on social media, and I knew, and I even said on the post, I don't like doing these. But I feel like it needs to be talked about because this is the number one reason the 49ers offense is struggling. There's Jake Brendel and several plays where he's getting put on his butt, falling over. I think it was like four plays where he didn't touch one single player and turns around and watch Brock Purdy get hit. It was bad. It caught on a little bit. And, you know, people are, I don't know. I don't know what the goal is. And I'm talking through this. This is my therapy session right now because I don't want to be that guy. And I knew as soon as I posted it, it was going to catch. It's going to get a bunch of views and shares and whatever else. It's just frustrating when there's issues that have been prevalent with the 49ers for years, for seasons, not just games, not just series, and they just don't get talked about. It just doesn't get talked about. And it's so problematic to me because I'm answering all these DMs, all these, you know, emails, which I love. Keep them coming, baby. But it's like, I got to go through and answer each one. And I'm just like, okay, whatever the narrative is that's out there on the issues of this team, a lot of them, the film does not support. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. And a lot of people, yeah, questioned the way in which I broke down the film. 100% accurate. I get it. I totally understand that. But falling on your butt over and over again and not blocking anybody as a center against 5 and 6 man pressure, that needs to be addressed. It needs to be talked about. And it's not with the hopes of ending anybody's career. God, that's not who I am. Man, that's not who I am. But the team should come first. And football is the ultimate team sport. And so sometimes some of those things need to be pointed out. You know what I'm talking about? And so I put that out there. And so, you know, I think Colton McKivitz is getting a lot of slack. So here's what I want to do. We're going to talk film. And there's no way I'm getting through this show. There's no way I'm getting through this show. That's okay. I want to put things into an NFL perspective, and it's a small sample size. It's only two games, right? Every NFL team's played two games. Let's talk about our PFF ranks just as a snapshot to try to widen the perspective or perhaps understanding of how the 49ers are playing. You're a 1-1 team. You're 500. You're the middle, all right? So let's go through. I'm going to go through quick, and we can kind of like talk through some of these things, okay? Let's start with the offensive line. Okay, there are 68 tackles that have enough snaps to receive grades. Trent Williams is second. He's had three penalties, given up two sacks, but the thing the film shows you is there's 15 to 20 plays a game where Trent just pancakes a guy. That is uncommon, and so, yeah, he's maybe not back to Trent Williams, but he is still absolutely dying. He's second. McKivitz, who's getting all the flack of the world, and I can scream this from the mountaintops all the freaking time. Offensive tackle is the least deep, least talented position across the NFL in all walks. It's not even close. It's been that way for decades. 68 tackles. Do you want to know where Colton McKivitz fits? 20th. Do you know how many tackles start every week in the NFL? Every week. There's 32 on the left. There's 32 on the right. That's 64. He is 20th. Does that mean he's given up too many pressures? No, he is. He's given up too many pressure. Gave up six. Didn't give up a sack, though. Watch Colton McKivitz in the run. He's 20th. The film shows it. Yeah, there's a couple plays where you're just like, ah, that ain't good. Yes, I understand. I understand. But you're paying bargain prices and you're getting adequate right tackle play. He's 20th. 20. There's 64 starters. He's 20th. That dude is playing. I'm not the biggest McKivitz guy. I'm Texas. I don't even like West Virginia. Don't like it at all. Been there too many times. Anyway, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Those would be some bad one-star reviews if they knew how to read. But, like, the whole idea is this. He's playing fine. But the broadcast view from the side angle, if you're looking, you see 68. And so whenever he makes a mistake, it is, bro, it's huge. You can't see Brindle because he's covered up. You turn that camera behind, you sit in the end zone one time at these games, and you watch that center, and you're just going to be like, ooh, that is terrible.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Right now, Caleb Williams, all you have to do is pick over or under Caleb Williams one passing yard. Every week in Sam Tipper. That's it. Every single week. And so for right now, you could combine that again, 2 or 6 of these, you know, things that you pick more or less. Christian McCaffrey's at 88.5 rush yards week 1. So you pair that with, you say he's going to rush for over that. You do more there. You do more on Caleb Williams, one pass yard. Bet $20, you win 60 on that. It's so simple. Right now. So download the Prize Pick app today. Use code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly when you play on $5. That's code 49ers on Prize Picks for $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't have to win. As soon as you play $5, you get $50 back. You don't even need to win. So it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Have you ever tried to explain football to a little kid? It's near impossible with all the rules, all the regulations, and it's just confusing. I remember the first time I coached my son's little league team whenever he was 5 years old, I got gray hairs immediately. So, I know many of you guys have young kids or grandkids, nieces, nephews, it doesn't matter, that you want to share your football experience with. Well, Future Fans is a brand that helps little kids become big football fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. And the way Future Fans teaches, it's so unique and effective. They introduce the concepts of the sport in a way that the kid will understand. Think of a beanbag toss game for teaching first downs. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's genius and it works. You go read the reviews, you'll see for yourself. So if you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. It's only $49.99, and if you use our code RUSHRUSH at futurefans.com to get 10% off, unlock a lifetime of memories with your kid in your life starting now. Trust me, it'd be worth it.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So, again, not here to say Colton McKivitz is awesome. I don't think that's what he is. I'm saying he is an average right tackle in this NFL, and that is okay. That's okay for me. That's okay. In fact, so far this year, he has been far above average. He's been good, consistently good. Banks, 32nd out of 68 guards. Not good. Pooney, 37 out of 68 guards. Nah, his last game was rough. He kind of, week one, awesome. Week two, Pooney had a lot of mistakes that he's got to work through. But the fact that Pooney, he's got a 65.6, and Banks, 68. The difference, I would say, is Banks has a lot more positive plays. Banks has a lot of mistakes, though, too. But he makes up for that because sometimes when Banks gets a block, it's just like, ooh, that's really, really good. So I think that's where there's. Then we get to Brindle, who's got the lowest score of all five linemen. He's the 24th out of 32 centers. 24th out of 32 centers. So he's bottom eight. He's bottom eight. And that's the difference is there's only 32 centers. There's 64 guards. There's 64 tackles that play all the time. Not good. Wide receivers, Ayuk 56, bad. Jennings 29th, not good. Debo 10th. That's about where Debo is. Debo had seven great quarters out of eight. Seven out of eight. Awesome. Brock Purdy, seventh quarterback. That fits. It really does. Somebody ringing my doorbell. I ain't going to that door. We talk of film. They can wait or go come back. Mason, 12th. That's awesome. That is so good. So Brock Purdy, 7th. And again, PFS, not the end-all, be-all. But it puts them into a neighborhood to talk about kind of where they belong, if that makes sense. That's where he is. So that's the offense. George Kittle, he's 11th. Eric Saubert, he's right there. He's 12th. Zauber's playing some good plays now. Playing some really good plays. He's got some really good blocks. Caught those two, you know, fourth quarter drive catches when Kittle was out. That was good. So that's the offense. Right now, let's flip it. Let's go to the defense. Bosa's fourth. 114 edge players qualify. He's fourth. Leonard Floyd, 104th. Leonard Floyd had two good quarters against the Jets. And then he had six bad quarters. That's problematic. Problematic. I want to talk about the defensive tackles. And you guys already know my stance on these things. Not very good, okay? The number one rated defensive tackle we have is Jordan Elliott. He's 13th out of 115 guys who have enough snaps to qualify. He's 13th. Awesome. Kevin Givens, 63rd. Malik Collins, 67. Javon Hargrave, 65th. That dude's making $20 million plus, and he is 65th. Again, 64 defensive. Actually, that's not even true because defensive interior, I call them tackles because we run a 4-3, right? Or a 4-2-5. We got four, right? So you have two interior guys. The best way to define it is defensive interior, meaning there's an edge guy outside of you because there's a 3-4. They've got three. We have two. So there's quite a bit. There's probably about 70 starting defensive tackles. Javon Hargrave, 65th. 65th. That's dog trash, man. And you are getting paid $20 million plus. So it's different whenever you get somebody like, I don't know, Kevin Givens, who's making, what's Kevin Givens making? Because I want to make sure this is accurate. Kevin Givens, this dude is making $1.9 million a year. Less than one-tenth. 8% of Hargrave, and he's playing better. He's playing better. Smaller snaps, all those things. Like, now, that doesn't mean Hargrave can't improve. I'm telling you right now, probably one of the biggest issues with this team is Javon Hargrave. That's an issue. Whenever you're getting replacement-level play from a $20 million a year player who's got 3 years left on his contract, yikes. That's scary stuff. Linebackers. Fred Warner's number one. Shocker. Not even close. Fred Warner's the highest rated player in the NFL, regardless of position, by a wide margin. Like, that dude. Whew. Devondre Campbell, 48th. Nah, not good. Flanagan Fouls would fit. He didn't have enough snaps to qualify, but he'd be like in the lower 50s. Not good. Secondary, Diamador Lenore, 36th. I mean, in today's NFL, there's three corners that start, right? So 32, 32, 32, 96. He's 36th. I think he's a little better than that. Ward is 45th. If we go to nickel, Yottam is 54th. Jair Brown, 69th out of 78. Everybody loves Jair Brown. I love Tig. I don't think it's fair that he is free of criticism. He has been awful. That 97-yard touchdown was him and the defensive coordinator putting two safeties on that in a cover one situation was terrible. But like Jair Brown, who had probably one of the best camps in preseasons out of anybody, just not there, man. Just not there. Odom's actually ranked way higher. That doesn't mean he's better or any of that stuff. But, oh, what's up, Tommy? Tommy Guitar Huxley in the house. Appreciate the super chat, brother. Hargrave, worst sign in history. Bench him. No, I don't think bench him. I think he should play. He's good enough to play, but I think he should be fourth on the depth chart. If I was starting, like, I'd shake up. Like, you want to push meritocracy? I mean, they mic'd Hargrave up for this game. What are you micing up? Hey, Brock Purdy had the same amount of tackles as you, man. We're in the fourth quarter. Brock Purdy got one tackle. He's tied with you. He got great effort. I do love his team, and I want him to be awesome. But Brian Baldinger even put out there that, like, man, Hargrave ain't getting any push at all, and they're not double-teaming him at all. He's got some double-team plays. But, like, a year ago, people were double-teaming him in pass pro. Not anymore. Collins is getting it. Bosa, sliding, whatever. Like, nah, they backup guard out there against Javon Hargrave 101, and the other team's like, yeah, we're good. We're just going to go with this matchup every time and win every single time. You ain't even winning. So, like, you can't cut them. Even next year, you cut them post June 1st designation, you get a lot back, but that contract is rough. RUFF, terrible, terrible, terrible. So, you know, I go through all those positions just to say I think it's important to just talk through and, like, put things into the perspective of the NFL. Because, man, you've got lots of top 10 type players. Brock Purdy, Jordan Mason, Kittle, Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa. Like, you've got top 10 guys. You got them. You got a lot of them. You got to pull up, you know, the mistakes and all those things for sure. Right here, George, appreciate you, man. Are these numbers not skewed, though, because we only played one good game? So one bad game destroys your – it wasn't a bad game. It's a small sample size, so statistically, yeah, you could say, like, it's whatever. And with a lot of these guys, you can add in the context of their careers. They played for a long time, Bosa's, Kittle's, or whatever. So that kind of validates where they have been. And so it's just one of the many check marks to determine. You watch the game, you watch the film, the coach's tape, you look at the analytics, and when they all agree, that tells you something. And that's why I made this statement. Let me see. The three players that have held back the 49ers probably the most, in my opinion. A lot of people are going to disagree with me on this. That's okay. We're allowed to disagree. I'm not right all the time. I said Jake Brendel, 1. Javon Hargrave, 2. Brandon Ayuk, 3. And then people are going to be out there like, whoa, everybody's talking about Brandon Ayuk had all this separation and all the arguments out there. He did on certain plays. The majority of plays where Brandon Ayuk was the first read, not good plays. There's one play that I think everybody's putting out there. It's a 3-by-1 set, so there's 3 eligibles, 2 Brock Purdy's left, 1 eligible, 2 Brock Purdy's right. That's Brandon Ayuk. He's the one guy. He freaking runs the route of his life. Nobody's close to him. Runs scot-free. Well, guess what? The play calls read the 3-by-1 side. So he looks and opens up, and he reads the 3 wide receiver side. I don't remember if that play took a sack or whatever else, but I don't remember what he did there. But it doesn't matter. I don't care what you're doing on the backside. Brandon Ayuk had probably 14 to 15 plays where he was the primary read, and that dude laid an egg on almost all of them. The one play, it was late third or late fourth, where he was the primary read. He ran just like a deep stick, and it was incredible, perfect route. And I was like, oh, we hit him for that huge gain. It was like 20-yard gain. It was like, ooh, that's the Ayuk we're used to. But the other 12 times he was the primary read, the first read, dude laid eggs, shut down, clamped on. You can say, well, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, that's contact after 5 yards. Don't care. They're not calling on either side. That's what it is. You got to play football. I don't care. It's football. You got to go play. So can Ayuk step back into that role? We've seen glimpses, and we'll go to Brock Purdy. I'll shut my mouth for a second. Sorry, guys. I was on a little bit of a roll there. Here's Brock Purdy talking about Brandon Ayuk.
I mean, you know, for me, I think he looks pretty good and stuff, but I don't, you know, I'm drawing back and going, BA's not like what he's been like. I don't think that at all. I think for me, I just try to go through my reads, and he's been where he needs to be. And, you know, there's probably a couple routes maybe in certain looks where we both could have been better on some stuff, but that's just like, you know, early in the season stuff, if you ask me. So I know that we'll continue to get better together in our connection and everything, but, you know, for four quarters, man, I thought BA grinded and you know, went and competed, man, and I'm proud of him for that.
And so, like, man, Brock is Brock, and he's always going to say the right, like, answer. That's just who he is. I love that. And, like, Ayuk hasn't been bad. He hasn't. But when the team looks to him, this is who he's been consistently throughout his career. How has Ayuk been when Debo's out? Average at best. His worst games, whatever he is the focus, right? Well, whatever it has been through 2 weeks, the holdout and the podcast, don't give a damn, and the social media post and all that, that's all behind us. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Juan Solis, Godfathers of the House. So Purdy needs to start hitting those checkdowns to Mason. That's in my notes, Juan. That's in my notes, Juan. Juan's the reason why we have all these clips in the first place. So thank you, brother. Oh, what's up? We got Matthew in the house, too. Man, we're just having a good old time over here. I love it. Oh, Sin's over here. Niner Sickness Podcast. Filthy Casual. I love it. Man, appreciate everybody here. But the idea is, no matter what it has been, moving forward, it's got to change. Look, dude, Brent, you're going to be a priority. You're going to be a primary read. And a lot of the reason why those sacks and whatever else have been happening, that falls on your shoulders. The film supports that. Now, does every snap support that? No. No, that's not how it works. That's not how football works. How many plays do we have this game? Let's see here. We had 70 offensive plays. That's a lot. We had 70 offensive plays. Brandon Ayuk played 61. That's pretty nice. He's back to kind of his full whatever. But he had a 64.6 grade. 60 is average. 60 is your first play of the game. John Chapman steps out there, wide receiver, number 99, you know, whatever. I start off with a 60 grade. Each play comes plus 2, minus 2, somewhere in that range. Some plays are plus 5, plus 1, whatever. If I have a 80-yard touchdown, which is never going to happen, I'd get plus 2. So my next play would be 62, and it just counts up. That's the way it works. That's their scoring system. And by the way, for those of you that hate on PFF, first thing we did when we came in from game day, whenever I coached at Duncanville, Texas, you have a whole spreadsheet, kind of like an Excel grid thing. You hand it to all your players. We go through the tape. They grade themselves. And guess what? We kind of did the same thing. Now, we did it different variations where you get a slash if you it's kind of a wash, or you get a plus or a minus. I've done ones where you do plus 1, plus 2, minus 1, minus 2, and you tally it up like you're playing putt-putt or golf or whatever. And that gives you a score at the end of the day. Is it always accurate? Whatever else? No. But you can walk away and say, man, I played 20 snaps, and I had 12 positives, 8 negatives. You can walk away with that. You got a lot of negatives. Were they all? No. No. And, Dave, this is the accurate statement today. 70 offensive plays, and we only scored 17 points. Yeah. We don't suck, but, man, it was bad. And because we've got a lot of negatives, you got to clean that up. You got to. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I think one of them, probably the one of the biggest plays, I don't know how we got 70 plays. We went 2 for 10 on third downs. So here's Kyle just talking about how bad we were on third downs.
I mean, we didn't convert on third down. When you go two, I think we were 2 of 9 on third down, which usually doesn't lead to touchdowns very much unless you're doing it all in first and second. 1 of 3 on fourth down doesn't help. I think we finished, I think on that last, we were 2 of 4 in the red zone. So was a challenge today, and we can do better.
Yeah, we were 2 of 10, 1 of 3 on fourth downs, 2 of 10 on third downs, 2 of 4 in the red zone. Like, ugh, that's terrible. I don't know how we got 70 plays. They got a 97-yard touchdown. I don't want to dive into all that. But it was huge. And, yeah, the checkdowns are huge. Brock Purdy is leading the NFL at aggressive throw rate, meaning you're throwing the ball deep more often and into tighter windows more often. That ain't who we is. I understand that's bad grammar. I'm doing that to draw. I'm just trying to save myself from answering those three emails. Thank you. I know Texas education has failed me greatly. But that's not who we are. That's not who we are. We are a get the ball to who is open and let them work after the catch. And Jordan Mason, I want to see here. I want to make sure I get this correct. I know looking up stats live on the show, probably not the best quality, whatever. I don't care. I want to know the answer to said question. Oh, here we go. Jordan Mason has 2 targets this year. Jordan Mason has 2 catches this year. Jordan Mason has 2 receiving first downs this year. Small sample size, got it. Don't give a damn. Everybody else used to say, Jordan Mason can't pass protect. You remember that one? He can't get out there. He can't pass protect. Now, Jordan Mason had pancakes in pass protection. Pancakes. He had one play that was somewhat questionable in pass protection, but Brock Purdy got the ball out super quick. It wasn't touched. But he had about, I want to be accurate here. How many plays? Jordan Mason had 8 plays pass blocking. 8. Solid. Maybe. Now, it's big difference played against the Vikings and against the Rams. Rams are one of the least blitz. They blitz 4 times a game. That's it. They don't blitz at all. They don't blitz at all. They play Jared Goff, didn't blitz. They play Kyler Murray, didn't blitz. You play a statue baby giraffe, didn't do anything. You play like one of the fastest, agile, move-around quarterbacks. Like, it doesn't matter. They don't blitz. They are one of the most simple schemes. They're simpler than our scheme, which is crazy. We'll get into that in the preview show. But checkdowns are available this game for sure. You don't have to keep Jordan Mason in to pass protect. You might have to with your center. But there were 3 or 4 plays on tape that went bad. Interception, fumble, or whatever the hell you want to call that thing that slipped out. It's sacks where it's just like, dude, you'll see a player, 24 or 44, or somebody just sit there out in the flats just like, hey, we got to. You go to the checkdowns. You remember when everybody complained when Brock Purdy first started? They're like, oh, he's just checking down. He's just checking down. Brock Purdy, back-to-back years now, is throwing the ball more deep more often than any other quarterback in the NFL. Do you know who the one quarterback who checks down more than anybody? Patrick Mahomes. I think he had 6 passes the entire last game against Cincinnati that went past the line of scrimmage. I'm not even exaggerating. 6 passes. That's it. That's it. And the rest of the penalties that the refs in the NFL always help that team out. But, like, come on, man. Come on. Check the damn ball down. And if Jordan Mason can't handle it, that's okay. But I was at all the training camp practices. That dude was working that jugs machine. He bought a jugs machine on his own this offseason, and he's playing off an undrafted free agent price, salary. Give him a chance. Let him prove if he can't. So if you go out there and you call up a screenplay or a check down to Mason and he drops it, all right, cool. You know, that was a crucial play and you ruined that drive. We're going to do something else. But at least give him the damn chance. The dude's answered every call. Steph Sanchez, the amazing Steph Sanchez, let me just say that. She put out this tweet, which is freaking unreal. If Jordan Mason goes over 100 yards rushing this week against the Rams, who gave up 200-plus rush yards last week, he's going to join. Listen to this group of people he's joining. O.J. Simpson, DeMarco Murray, Jim Brown, Emmitt Smith, Dalvin Cook, and Curtis Martin. He's going to join those players as the only players in the history of the NFL to get 100 yards more rushing in your first 3 starts in the NFL. That's it. And you can cry, yell at a wall. Oh, it's a Shanahan scheme, blah, 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 blah. Did you hear how bad that offensive line is? Did you hear how bad it was? It's bad. But I'm just saying Jordan Mason is solid. Solid, solid, solid. You block him for 4, he gets you 7. You block him for a 7, he's going to get you 11 every damn time. Run that dude like nobody's business. You know, get him the freaking ball. And check downs, that's a great way. What's up, Rob? How we doing? CJ, what's up, man? How we doing, buddy? Oh, look at this. CJ says, I counted 10 plays missed by Brock. There were some bad ones that he missed. And, like, this is the same way I feel about injuries. Bad plays, injuries, when they're stacked, okay? When you stack those on top of each other. So, for example, on defense, the defensive end can make a terrible play, but Fred Warner can clean it up. But when the defensive end makes a bad play, and then Devondre Campbell makes a bad play, and then your safety makes a bad play, and those three that are stacked to take away a run play or whatever else, that's catastrophic. Same thing with injuries. Christian McCaffrey can get hurt, and you can be somewhat okay. But whenever it's Christian McCaffrey and Debo out, that's stacking injuries. That's scary. Now it's Christian McCaffrey, Debo, Elijah Mitchell hurt. All right, now this is where it gets scary. So, like, one or two injuries, even at premium players, can overcome. It's stacking those. And whenever you go consecutive back to CJ, Brock Purdy, I thought, was an average quarterback this game. Like, it was average quarterback play. The QBR, the rating, all those things, PFF grades, pretty solid. He got 32 quarterbacks. He was right at that kind of 16, 17 level. Some drives he was top 10. Some drives he was terrible. The problem was his three worst plays of the entire game were almost in direct, just chronological order. Like all three of them in a row. The interception, terrible sack that he took, and then whatever the hell that out of the small hands was. And so now, to be fair, the conversation doesn't end there, because then probably the best pass of the game was the very next time out there. So he had like three of his worst plays right in a row, and then he goes out there and throws his best pass of the game. I mean, he's a gunslinger that kind of forgets whatever and moves forward. But, man, yeah. Sonia, you're so great. She says, John, I'm so happy you said the refs helped the Chiefs. I feel like there is no denying. There's no humanly way possible you could watch that Chiefs game. I'm not even talking about the pass interference call at the end, which, you know, whatever. I didn't like the call, but, like, man, you just watch the game, and it's just like, what? What? Jordan right here. He says, if we keep running Mason, the Kyle haters will still complain. Imagine if the unthinkable happened. Dude, those I always say this, you know, to my wife and to my son and whenever we talk and whatever. Some people just want to be mad, and they got to be mad at something. So just let them be mad. Like, don't try to, like, argue against Kyle haters. Now, you come on the show and you put in a comment, we're going to have a discussion. That's kind of the way this medium works. But, like, man, those people are just miserable. And like, if you can't be happy with Kyle Shanahan as your coach, look across the NFL. And the funniest thing is, if you ask all of them, okay, you don't like Kyle, you want to fire Kyle, who do you want? They all say the same thing, Andy Reid. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. Have you looked at Andy Reid's career? What was it, 29 years before this dude won the championship? And he didn't win the championship until he had the best quarterback in all of football. Yeah, he's won 3 out of 5. I get that. That's awesome. And he was a great coach before that, too. But, like, so you want Andy Reid, but you want to give up on Kyle after 8 years. Okay, make that make sense. Like, come on, man. Anyway, it's just, yeah. You want the Philly Andy Reid, or do you want the Andy Reid with 30 years experience with the, you know, best quarterback in the NFL? Yeah, I want Andy Reid with the best quarterback in the history of the sport as well, probably, when it's all said and done. We'll see how it goes. I'm not a Mahomes guy, but I mean, he's amazing. Good Lord, he's amazing. Yeah, then they used to say Harbaugh. He didn't win. Some people, again, they just need to be pissed. It's a hot take central, right? Like, people could say, oh, we should trade for fill in the blank. Okay, what should we trade for him? Okay, what about the salary cap implication? Oh, you didn't think about any of these things? You just spouted something without figuring out if this makes any sense whatsoever? Oh, it makes no sense in reality. But those conversations are fun. I'm not saying, oh, man, how cool would it be if the 49ers could trade for, I don't know, Penei Sewell. God, that'd be so awesome. All right, well, what's it going to cost? Do you think Dan Campbell's going to trade away that dude? Like, You know what I mean? I get that. Now, the reasonable takes that don't come true or come to fruition, that's where it gets frustrating, right? Like, why haven't we drafted a center in the entire history of Kyle Shanahan's era? I don't know. Ron, he says, do you think I think you're trying to say Shanahan, but insulting maybe, is the best coach in the NFL? I do not. I don't think that he is. I am fine if you said he's the best play caller or his scheme is the best, which isn't really his scheme. It's his dad. Even that I would probably disagree with. Offensive play caller, right? But I think that he is top five. He hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. And so that is a legit criticism. Obviously, the way that he has operated in big games is an issue. But I would also argue, man, you came back against Patrick Mahomes and against Andy Reid and walked off the field in the Super Bowl with the lead three times in the fourth quarter and overtime. Defense didn't do their job. Is that his fault? Yeah, I think so too. But if you were to, here's what I go back to. If you let's wipe it clean, right? You used to be able to do this in Madden. You'd go to franchise mode and you'd wipe every roster in the, oh man, it was my favorite. So you start a team, right? So you pick the 49ers, but you have zero players in your team. And then you go into this dynasty draft and you can pick players like, you know, if it's Jerry Rice or whatever, like you build your roster zero to whatever. Nobody has anybody. So hypothetically speaking, let's wipe every single coaching staff off the board and every team has to rebuild. All the head coaches are available. You get to start your franchise. Who are the majority? Who's going to get picked up the most? That's my question. Andy Reid ain't, because Andy Reid's old as hell. Okay, so that's part of it. It's going to be McVay, and it's going to be Shanahan. Who's going to get more votes? I don't know. If I had to pick one, I would go with Shanahan personally, because the only time McVay kind of went out and dominated was whenever they sold everything. And then we see where they're at now. They're the worst team in the NFL, I would argue. The injuries accelerated that, but they had the 5-12 year ago. Yeah, they rallied to make the playoffs last year, but Shanahan's going to be one of the top coaches, period. That's all there is to it. I love Mike Tomlin. I always say this. If my son was in the NFL and if I could have anybody coach my son, I'd pick Mike Tomlin. Like infatuated that human being. Is he the best coach? I don't think so. Yeah, he's above 500 all the time. And yeah, Ayuk and people like that, they all want to play for him. But yeah, I think he's top five, Ron. He says top five, agreed. I think that's where he belongs. And you want to put him three or two? You want to put him five, six, seven? That's cool. And I will say this, Kevin O'Connell needs to be in the conversation. That dude's a great head coach that got the most out of Kirk Cousins and a lot of bad teams. Part of the Shanahan McVay scheme, all that stuff. Mike McDaniel. I might pick Mike McDaniel just so I could laugh. I miss him. I love him. D'Amico. These are all Shanahan guys. The top six. I feel like Vince Vaughn on Wedding Crashers. Erroneous. Erroneous on all accounts. like all of the guys at the top of the list, the young future of the NFL, are Shanahan guys. So do you want the original, or do you want the copy of the copy? Now, McVay does his own thing. He comes from that scheme, but he has 100% built his own offensive play calling, everything. And yeah, there's some Shanahan tendencies, but he has changed it. He is the furthest away from the Shanahan block as possible. No doubt about that. So who's the best? Who's the worst? Blah, I don't know. Shanahan's got to be up there. And I am so damn thankful. Let me say this. I'm so thankful that Kyle Shanahan is our head coach. I am so thankful that Kyle Shanahan is our head coach. And I hope he's our coach for the next 10 to 15 years. If the Yorks could sign him to that extension, I would do it right freaking now. Right now. Because it's just how he changes and adapts and molds his scheme to where it is always effective. Always effective. Now, whenever you get these 17-point losses, that's a whole nother thing. But even when you look at the 17-point whatever, we still are ninth in points scored this year. Coming off a bad game where we scored 17. 17 is bad for us. A lot of teams don't score 17 points. Let's see here. I want to look at this. Let's stay with this conversation. How many 17 points pisses us off? Pisses me off more than anything. We had the three losses last year, right? with 17 points. So let's look at how many teams scored under 17 points. Oh, yeah, the Dolphins, that same team we were talking about. The Lions, oh, Ben Johnson, one of the best play callers, he scored under 17. Titans scored 17. We scored 17. Panthers scored under 17. Jaguars scored under 17. Rams, Sean McVay, that same guy you were just talking about, he scored under 17. Steelers won a game scoring 13. Love Mike Tomlin. Broncos under 17. Bears under 17. That's 20 teams. No, 10 teams. I'm smart. 10 teams that didn't score over 17 points. Not good. The rule usually is you score over 21, you win. And Shanahan hits that number pretty freaking constantly. Oh, look at Ryan. He says Chapman top three. Man, I ain't coaching ever again if I have it my way. Ugh. Appreciate you, Prosper. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Colin, I think this is right too. Bad last game, still a one-score game, probably due to Fred Warner. Fred Warner saved us. He is the glue that holds us together and just keeps everything going. So a couple other people step up, that'll change. Now, if you are betting at any time this year, you know what you got to do.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me. And they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100. All the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out. Trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
There we go. And yeah, I think this is, you know, I love the coach conversation. I mean, this is just fun for me. I'm sure some people probably not as intrigued by it as I am. But, you know, Filberto says, you know, probably Kyle, since McVay constantly speaks about retirement. Yeah, he wants other things. Shanahan's a coach, right? Shanahan's a coach. McVay, he comes from front office family, general manager family. And I'm not saying general managers and front office don't work hard. That's all I'm saying at all. I'm saying coaches coach. Coaches live, breathe, sleep. I mean, I was coaching at Texas in Texas high school. I was sleeping in my office multiple times a week. I had a little nurse's cot at the corner of my office. And I'd sleep there two to three times a week during the season. That's just what it was. Like, coaches are different. Now that I'm out of that life, I'm like, whew. There's a reason why coaches have heart attacks and all that kind of stuff, too. Like, that was not healthy. That's not work-life balance. But Kyle Shanahan ain't got work-life balance. Like, it's a unique individual that can do that and balance a family. Now, whenever you're making the money that you're making in the NFL and, you know, wives can, you know, family members can contribute more and you can hire help and all that stuff. But, like, coaching lives are different. They are big-time different. It's like even players, you show up, you do your job, you leave. Coaches stay. They're there before you. They're there after you. They're there during. And it just doesn't change. And, you know, Kyle talks all the time about how it's nice to get away for 40 days and all those things. But he's always ready to get back. Like that's just what it is. Rob, he says, bro, you still watch tape like a coach? I do. I don't watch near as much. Probably, one of the things that's just so different, and now there's all these programs and huddle and whatever else, and where it just breaks it all up for you. But like used to labeling coach and game plans, and you're watching the other team, and like, yeah, I kind of do a makeshift watered down version of it. But my life balance is better now. I don't take days off of the season. I don't know. Like I record every single day, or I'm traveling or whatever, but like it's still, yeah, I work a lot. A lot of people out there work harder than me, which is so cool. And I'm just like, I always respect the hustle, but then I'm just like, I'm done with that. I'm done. I mean, this episode 1,215. We've talked several times, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the first couple years, I was doing, you know, a couple times a week, whatever. I didn't start doing every day till a couple years ago. But anyway, and yeah, appreciate all the kind words. You know, love watching John's breakdowns. Dude, if you want to watch our breakdowns, go to the 49ersrush.com, sign up, 7-day free trial, so click around, watch some stuff. See what that's how I feed my family. What we make here, I try to pay other people and, you know, promote and get stuff together. The 49ers Rush is how I feed my family. We ain't make a lot, but it ain't much. It's honest living. At least I hope so. But anyway, thank you guys for the kind comments. Now, there are a couple other things that I wanted to talk about. And, you know, let's just stick with Fred Warner. I want more positivity out there. Here is George Kittle just talking about All-Pro Fred.
Good at football? Yeah, I think I've been saying it since like his second year, All-Pro Fred. I mean, he just puts it on tape every single day. He's a fantastic football player. Leads the defense, always has the energy. He's everything you want a 49er, you know. And the way that he plays is the standard for the defense. And he does a really good job, too, of like calling guys out when they aren't playing at the standard that he expects out of them, too. So he's everything you want, a Mike linebacker and as a teammate.
That's so cool. Like, it is weird. And it's not, I don't think we're to the point of blasphemy any longer. I really don't. For the longest time, you couldn't compare Fred Warner to Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis. You couldn't do that. And now we can. Like, it's here. We have had enough years where that is the conversation. And it belongs. And I know it's only 2 weeks into the season, and we'll see how that goes. But Fred Warner is the best player in the NFL through 2 weeks of the season. He's the best player, regardless of position. Not linebackers, not defensive players, whatever. And yeah, defensive player of the year almost always goes to an edge guy, and there's a lot of quality edge guys out there. I get that. No MVP. But I'm telling you right now, the best player in the NFL is Fred Warner. It's Fred Warner, and Patrick Willis just got inducted in the Hall of Fame, which is incredible, and I freaking love it. But, like, the conversation needs to be had. Fred, he got some time left. And that's what's cool is that Fred's not that old. And, you know, whether you're looking at – I'm pulling it up now. He's 27 years old. His birthday's in November, so he'll turn 28 this year. But, I mean, this dude's already put together 7 high-quality years. 3 All-Pros. He's got time left. And Fred's not a guy that wins with speed. Yeah, he's got speed. But that's not who he is. The opportunity's there to be the best 49ers linebacker of all time. He's not there yet. And that's Patrick Willis. But I'm telling you right now, I mean, Patrick Willis got 5 All-Pros. In freaking 6 years, and that 6 year, you know, kind of whatever, what was an absolute. He missed the first team All Pro by 1 vote to John Bostic, I think, off the top of my head. Where you at, Patrick Willis? There we go. Patrick Willis, like obviously we remember the year, his career 3. So he played 8 years. That's it. That's all he played. Now he was amazing, start to finish. No doubt about it. But next year, Fred Warner will have played as much as long as Patrick Willis. The longevity of it and all those things. If now, can Warner maintain that? That's going to be huge. Grande, I'm with you right there. He says, put a little money on Fred Warner for most tackles and assist on my bookie. Dude, I'm telling you this. If you over on my bookie, you put. We were talking about this with the Wayne show. I didn't get to put money down yet. I need to. But if you bet $5 on Fred Warner to win defensive player of the year, you get back like $280. It might have changed since then. But yeah, I mean, it's there. Rob, Fred sets the tone. Bring on Greenlaw. Back it up. Oh, let's go. Filthy casual. Better than TJ Watt. I don't watch his games. TJ Watt's in the conversation. Right? But no, I'm taking Fred Warner. TJ Watt's incredible. More premium position. My question, here's how I always bracket these conversations. Okay, so like TJ Watt's an edge player. So like, okay, who are the top edge players? TJ Watt, you know, Garrett, Bosa, Max Crosby, Aiden Hutchinson's off to a great start, right? So those 5 guys. Okay, now who are the best off the ball linebackers? Okay, let's go. Fred Warner. Who's next? Who's next? You see the difference? The gap between Fred Warner and whoever you want to put at two. Let's go to PFF. Let's allow them to discuss this by position. We're going defense, and they don't do off the ball linebacker grades, but I could filter it just because I know. Devin Lloyd, Jack Sanborn, Akeem Davis Gaither, Leo Chanel, Logan Wilson, Demario Davis. His career's been awesome. Jordan Brooks, like Mac Wilson Jr., Ernest Jones, Bobby Wagner. Like, who's number two? So, like, the gap between linebacker one and linebacker two, we don't even know who linebacker two is. Now you talk about those five edge guys, and I'm like, man, TJ Watt might be number one. Probably is. Right now he's been awesome. Whenever he's healthy, he's incredible. But, like, is TJ Watt that much better than Myles Garrett or Max Crosby or Nick Bosa or Aiden? Like, you see what I'm saying? That's the difference. The gap. That's where, yeah. And I'm cool with that, CJ. Watt the best in the football. I am totally cool with that. What's up, Captain? We got the man. Talofa Faithful. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correct. I probably shouldn't even read that out loud. That's terrible. But we're going to be hanging out with you guys soon up in Seattle. That is our next 49ers Rush road trip, which, man, I'm so pumped about. We had such a great time in Minnesota. I wish the game would have been different. But our next trip, Thursday Night Football, Seattle, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. If you're going up there, day before party, again, I teased it just a little bit. Huge news coming. Hopefully this weekend we'll have a contract signed. Those prices, if you want to go, you better go. Because we're going to have somebody joining us that has played much more football than I have. Can't announce it yet too soon, but go get your tickets, 40 Irish Rush Faithful. This is a great conversation. And I started off just with, coming off a loss is rough. But this is still a good team and a good roster and a great coaching staff and a good situation. The entire NFC is down this year, big time. Really, the only team that's really 2-0 that is Seattle, but we get to play them twice, so it takes care of it. Everything the 49ers want is in front of them. You just got to handle your business, clean up the mistakes, move forward. The best news, the best antidote is who you're playing on freaking Sunday. The same old sorry-ass Rams, who are the worst team in football currently. Maybe the Carolina Panthers, but they're about to get a better quarterback. They're the most injured team in football. Now, you can't let that, dog backed up at the corner, jump out, bite you. And I'm sure they're going to. It's a divisional game. McVay, Shanahan, I get it. You got to put them down in their year. And I think that's kind of what's next. I really, really do. Can't say thank you guys enough. I'm very happy to be doing this. And the only reason why I get to do this is you guys. So thank you so much for all the support and positivity and all those things. And I know it's 1-1, but it's going to get better soon. Until then, stay strong, faithful. Want to say thanks for supporting today's show. And to take us out, we're going to go to a new song from Key Man. You know what it is. Your quest don't stop. 49 and faithful when the rest don't fly. Riding for the team that we love on God. We gonna lift them up till they up on time. Till we up on time. Since 46, keys all to the stick, we've been in the mix. Take it to the zone, we've been striking gold. That 49 away, winning Super Bowls. So many legends, it's the Hall of Fame.